May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God and our Redeemer. Our reading in today's Gospel of Luke is a powerful message. It is sometimes called the little apocalypse, which conjures up something so destructive it seems as though the world is about to end. Is that how it felt for many of you on February the 22nd, 2011? A time when lives changed immeasurably for so many in the city. But as Jesus spoke to his disciples about the impending trials, the destruction of the temple, and the endurance of faith in the face of adversity, really foreboding words, they're also words of hope and assurance for all who follow Christ. The temple was the center of Jewish life, a symbol of God's presence and faithfulness, a splendid edifice dominating the Jerusalem skyline with its grand stones and precious adornments. Yet here, Jesus is speaking of its destruction. The days will come when not one stone will be left on another and every one of them will be thrown down. We can only imagine how the disciples must have been feeling on hearing these words. This beautiful, magnificent, permanent structure, not only in its presence in the city, but in the very structure of their own lives and faith. It would be unthinkable, as the very destruction of our city was, would have been for you, but it also was for me. So although I was out of town, I still grew up here and it still meant a lot to me. Jesus' words remind us that nothing on earth is truly permanent. Not buildings, not institutions, not even our own lives or our bank accounts. As we all know, the things we cling on to are only things and can be shaken or lost. But with this warning, Jesus invites us to place our hope not in what can be lost, but in the God who remains with us through all things. Not surprisingly, the disciples, baffled and afraid, ask Jesus when these things will happen and what signs they should look out for. Did Jesus give them the signs? No, just what to look out for. Jesus' answer is to tell them not to be deceived by false prophets or to be terrified by wars, earthquakes, famines. These things must happen first, he says. But the end will not come right away. I'm not so sure that would have been terribly comforting for the disciples to hear. This deadly and highly provoking statement would have a huge impact if it got around, which of course it did. As the former Bishop of Durham, theologian and New Testament scholar N.T. Wright writes, without radio, television or newspapers, people would hear of such things by rumour from travellers who would pass on the news with additional speculation, until a border skirmish became all-out war and the emperor's occasional sneeze escalated into fatal illness. Does this type of thing sound familiar? In other words, they didn't need the social media of today. They could embroider things and pass on misinformation quite happily without it. How does this apply to us in our own lives? For we too live in uncertain times. Yes, the world is in turmoil. There is conflict, hardship, and there are disasters. But these types of things are not confined to beyond our borders. For here, in little New Zealand, way down the bottom of the world, all is not too rosy either. We too are facing disasters. People are being laid off and lives turned into misery and chaos. And to make everything even more difficult and complicated, how much can we now believe of what is put out there for us these days? When we hear of or witness such things, it is easy to become anxious or depressed, to be overwhelmed or even to lose heart. Yet Jesus calls us to trust in him, to refuse fear and instead remain faithful. When you're feeling that everything is being sucked out of you and your very existence, it is really a tough call. But as the American greenback, the currency notes, state, "In God we trust, and so we must." Jesus does not sugarcoat the cost of discipleship. He lays it on the line by being associated with him could mean that they will be arrested, persecuted, even betrayed, not only by the authorities, but be daubed in by family and friends, and lose their lives. This is a very hard teaching, and there are still Christians in various countries in the world who live in that very fear and persecution, yet still they hold tight to the light of Christ. Crucially, Jesus says, "But not one hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you win life." Jesus elaborates, "To stand firm is to remain faithful to Christ, even when our faith is unpopular or brings hardship. It means trusting that God is with us, giving us words of wisdom when we face difficulties. The promise is not that we will be spared all suffering, but in Christ, our ultimate security is assured." Luke's text today calls us to an enduring faith. Jesus says, "By your endurance, you will gain your soul." Endurance is not passive. It is an active, daily commitment to walk with God, to love others, and to live with hope, even in discouraging circumstances. Perhaps you are facing your own trials, loss, illness, abuse, strained relationships, or even the burden of an uncertain future. Hear Jesus' words today as both a warning and a comfort. Yes, trouble will come, but God's Spirit is with you. Sometimes when things are just too hard to handle or come to grips with, a simple prayer of, "Lord, help me, I can't do this on my own," can be enough. God will never abandon you, no matter what you face. Finally, we shouldn't be surprised by hardship. Being a Christian has never been advertised as being a bed of roses. Instead, let us take heart in the assurance that God walks with us through all things. Our calling is to remain faithful, to witness to Christ with love and courage, and to endure, trusting that in God's timing, not our timing, God's timing, all things will be made new. As we leave here this morning, may we do so with renewed faith, holding fast to Jesus' promise, "Not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." Amen.